With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Miles Jupp.
Comedian, writer, actor, strategy consultant, survivalist, heartthrob, lung ache, sore back, bottom trouble. Miles Jupp, welcome to Inside the Comedian.
Thank you, David. It's a great privilege to be asked to come on Inside the Comedian, and also it's very kind of you to dangle the option that I was allowed to stay and watch a Pappy's podcast being recorded, which was one of the two main draws.
Well, any time.
Many thanks. You genuinely know all of them.
I do. I've met all of them.
Well,
I've met all of them now.
I have
my favourite. But I never kiss and tell. Miles Jupp, you are one of the busiest men in comedy. What is it about you that people find so laughable?
I think it's just my level of willingness, generally. There's a sort of soft, squishy character in enormous numbers of ill-thought-through sitcoms. And, you know, that creates a void that needs to be filled. And inevitably, about half of these characters have been... Really, they're quite two-dimensional, so they'll have just put, I'll put a dog collar on, whatever it is. And that turns it into more of a character. And that's where I tend to join the project, right about the recall stage.
Yeah. Do you find that the method stops there with the attaching of a small piece of white cloth or plastic to your person?
Yeah, I mean, the costume designer on any show is probably... That's really the engine room. That's where the work is done.
Absolutely.
I mean, you get something. Someone says, look, we would absolutely love you to take part in it. It's a table read for BBC Three. We'd love you to come and take part in it. And you read it and you think, well, this is absolutely shit. I mean, it all is, yeah. Isn't it? Somebody rings you and says, hello, I'm doing the costumes. You think, hello, we are in safe hands.
Finally.
And they dress you in appropriate costume. It's always very a good idea, I think, if you're doing costumes in any sort of program, make it always look, whoever the character is, always make it look like absolutely everything they're wearing is completely brand new, fresh out of the packet. And
leave the labels on so it can be returned after
absolutely.
Filming.
Absolutely. Then everybody looks like, you know, something like Hollyoaks or whatever. You know, yeah. It's really very, very nuanced work. And, you know, and I just, that's once I'm in the costume, I literally stop working.
I'm exactly the same. I mean, the number of times where I have met one of these geniuses, and we, after hours and hours of trying on options and every kind of trouser, every size of trouser, which seems a waste of time in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Okay, we've got some that fit. Let's try some that don't.
Yes. Let's try some that Mark Williams didn't want to wear. Yes. Because we already have those. That sort of thing, yes.
No, I mean, generally that's my favourite part of the acting process is the costume fitting.
Well, it all starts there, and they inspire the others to do better, don't they?
That's right, ideally.
Now, if I can go back to the beginning of your career, you famously started playing Teddy the Trawler Boat Captain on children's television smash hit Seaside Simpletons. What was it about playing Teddy that that let you explore your craft and know that this is what you wanted to do with the rest of your life?
Well, I have to say, when the call first came in, I thought, this sounds as shit as everything else. But they said, look, come in, have a lunch, meet the costume person. The producer wanged on about concepts, etc. It was very... But we were able to have him removed. And then the costume lady, she showed me some just initial sketches, and I thought she'd done a lot of work, but there were areas where clearly they needed to improve. Things needed to be a bit more sort of lavish, contoured as well. And we ended up booking a cottage together and just workshopping various things that I might wear during the audition process.
Thrashing it out.
Yeah,
and thrashing it out in your cottage.
We got to a place where I was happy to consider being in the particular program that you just mentioned.
Seaside Simpletons.
Seaside Simpletons. The nobody forgets Seaside Simpletons.
I mean, it's part of so many people's childhoods.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, no one in this room. Everyone's too old. But do you ever get recognised by teenagers who you were, when they were small, you were a big part of their childhoods growing
up? Yeah.
And what's it like when they talk to you?
Well, generally I try and steer the conversation out of the costume.
Of course.
But inevitably someone wants to know what's happened to the other characters. Are they all still alive? Who was...
All famously dead.
All, yeah. Well,
I would have thought they would have heard about the accident.
You have to remember that in those days, the BBC press department was genuinely something to write home about.
Mm.
They could get hold of a scandal and really just make it disappear.
Yes. Yes.
Whereas now they think, oh, we could get column inches out of this, and wonder why they have to sell all the buildings. But
and as the lone survivor, I mean, it's great that they did get rid of that scandal as well, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, I don't know why they were. Yeah, I don't know why anyone would have thought that I was responsible, to be honest.
No,
for it.
No. No, but you were...
What led to the argument was, famously, as you know, it was a lot of people very angry about certain aspects of the script. The sort of aspects of a script that I don't think anyone should get cross about in a ski lift. And I wasn't aboard that ski lift because I'd gone to suggest a few ideas of my own to the costume lady.
Who is thankfully still with us.
Who is thankfully still with us, yeah. And surrounded by swatches that I rejected. Yeah.
Is she... I wonder if it's the trauma that she's still working on the costumes for a show long since cancelled.
Look, she's a wonderful lady. She genuinely is. But it's... sometimes people just can't be convinced that something's over. And, you know, a lot of the ideas that she's come up with, certainly since the programme... finished, have been, I would say, her best yet. Well, this is unfortunate, but nevertheless true.
Mm, mm.
Like so much of life, David.
Unfortunate, but true. I find nearly all of life is true.
Yes. Yeah. And then...
And unfortunate.
Yes. Almost, but by no means all.
Yes, yes. But this wasn't to be your calling. It was a launch pad for your career. But it's the world of stand-up comedy. That would turn you into the colossus of fun you are today.
Yeah.
How long did it take for you to find your voice?
Well, I mean, for the first 5 or 6 years I worked as a stand-up, I barely spoke.
It was a brave move.
But, inevitably, all people talked about was what I was wearing. So it took quite a long time before I actually had to write any jokes. I mean, when you start out, you have to do sort of 5 minutes. Well, most of that inevitably because I would... you know, they'd say, please welcome. I'd come on with some sort of fabulous train or whatever. People... By the time me and all the sort of team had got on stage...
Your 5 minutes were up.
5 minutes was up. Sometimes
I mean, some of those venues, you can get those 5 minutes in a remarkably small and
no, that's right.
But it's one of those loose nails.
It depends. If they've got the dressing room as well, suddenly you can literally walk straight on the train. You can actually get everyone in time. It's one of those ones where you're expected to come on from the back or whatever, then it is. It's hard. And, I mean, in a way, people... I started hiring a smaller team if I was in venues that didn't have excellent thoroughfares. But so as you just sort of built this up to a point. So I then, of course, the same... When I was doing 10 minutes, they said, that's awfully good. The crowd seemed to clap an awful lot. You must come back and do 10 minutes. And I'd come with, you know, more retinue. And
a bigger hat.
I finally, bigger, a very, an enormous hat.
5 minutes, 5 minutes bigger.
And then finally I did a weekend, my first weekend at the store, and it was a really terrific night, actually. As ever, you just never knew who you were going to be on with. It was a land of surprises. And I did my 20, and it went well, but after Don Ward, he came into the dressing room and said, "You don't actually say anything, do you?" And I said to him, "Look, love, there isn't time." And he says, "I know there isn't, but perhaps you could make time." And actually, he was right, because once I started writing jokes, and I mean, they had to be let go. A lot of the people that used to sort of help me onto the stage with my costume, it was actually a lot more economically viable. I mean, I was losing, tens of thousands of pounds a year.
But people did love you for it. They did love you for it. I mean, it made you stand out early days. And people, you slowly discarded the train as you started to speak.
Yeah, well, people thought I was absolutely... They thought I was fabulous, but of course I was leaving them guessing as to what my actual politics were.
And now it's abundantly clear.
It's very, 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 very obvious.
As a stand-up comedian, if you could play any room... on the whole of planet Earth, would you take advantage of such a disgusting privilege?
Yeah. I think so. I think I'd have to. I think one of the great things about comedy is it's almost impossible to cause offence. People in this country, audiences, the viewing public, the people that write about it, people that talk about it, they are nuanced to a degree that I think is the shame of the former European Union. And so I would take advantage of that, and I think nobody would mind. If I, for instance, said, look, I really want a room where the acoustics are glorious and the light is right. I mean, for instance... You know, if I wanted to sort of preview new material for an Edinburgh show in the Eagle's Lair, I think people would be like, well, you know, that's fine. Is that taking advantage, David, or is that just me thinking about aesthetics and sound in a way where other
quite
people...
Well, right. You're quite right.
Other people get hung up on stuff.
They do, don't they?
Some people do,
Some David. People get hung up on stuff.
Do you get hung up on stuff, David? No,
you know, I've never been hung up on stuff.
Because you...
Some people at my school were hung up on stuff. Pegs, predominantly.
Yeah.
But I've never been hung up on stuff.
Not even a rotary dryer.
No, never.
Literally nothing. No,
never hung up on stuff. I mean, I feel quite left out, actually, now you mention it.
Yeah, well, it's worth it. I mean, you're, of course, famous.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
obviously incredibly adept at concealing your colossal rage. I mean, people have literally no idea what's going on in there. But as somebody that I hope you won't mind me telling everyone, I've known
you for a number
of years. I mean, it is a frightening level of turmoil. And and yet, they would have no idea.
I'm very lucky, Miles, because my inner rage always manifests as hemorrhoids, and that's very dealable.
Yes, well, anything sort of back there, sort of medical problems in that area, people can... I remember that time David and I were at university together, and one night David went completely nuts in a bar and just turned pretty much every table in the place over and ripped the jukebox in the days when they had jukeboxes.
Yes.
Ripped the jukebox off the wall, and he threw it through a window, and people were like, "Oh, that guy's really angry." And somebody said, "No, he's got an anal fissure."
And...
And
that stuck, and for many years that was my stage name.
certainly nobody minded, did they?
Nobody booked me, but nobody minded. Now, as a successful stand-up comedian, Miles, you've appeared on nearly every panel show going. I mean, Attack the Bleak, Entertain Cats. Entertain Cats does News Round. Should I Fly to Bruges? I Can Never Find the Butt Flutes, and Rabbi's Got Shoes for Jews. What is it about being paid to sit down and not really contribute that so appeals?
Well, it's money for old rope. You know, someone rings up and says, "Look, we're doing a thing on Thursday. Is it for radio or telly?" I say, and they say it's for telly, and I say, "Great, I'll cancel the radio." And because people need to know where they stand.
Of course.
And they say, "Look, it's about the news. It's very gaudy. You'll know everyone. It's a great bunch of people." And you get there, and of course, everyone has done lots of preparation. But I noticed very early on, no matter how much people work, the fee is absolutely the same for everybody. Apart from the very small number of regulars left on certain programmes. But the fee for everyone, which is now... I mean, honestly, it's almost cost nothing to make. But you go out of these things, and what I am there for is reaction shots. Somebody will be banging on about something wearing a T-shirt or whatever, and... I don't know what it is they're talking about, but luckily, comedians these days talk in rhythms that are... One hesitates to use words like sort of predictable and obvious, but it's so clear when they've finished that I will look up from my Sudoku or whatever it is. Sometimes I'm reading scripts on my phone, and I know when they've finished, and I always go... And that always makes the edit. That's what I do. Sometimes I get hired. People say, "Look, we've did a recording last night. Literally, nobody laughed. Nothing happened. Would it be all right if you can come in? There's no one else there. It's an episode of Mock the Week. We're going to say for some reason there were seven guests on. We'll stick a chair on the end. And can you just sit there and laugh for 29 minutes? And I, of course, very happy to. And so, yeah, that's a valuable service. I'm literally providing sort of wadding or insulation to a series of younger people with more aggressive managers.
I mean, in a strange sort of way, you're rather like the man who does the signing for the deaf.
Ian.
Yeah. Just providing a sort of an emotional stimulus for people who aren't quite with you to tell you, "This is funny. You may join me laughing."
Well, quite often, I think, you're watching a television programme and you can see what everyone's, you know, people are doing things and somebody's talking or someone's brought a thing in and said, "Sir," or, you know, "Sir, there's a little blip on the radar." People, you can see what they're doing. But I think most programmes benefit. And they've, of course, since the sign, they've realised this is true of news, of weather, as everything else. It's important to have somebody on the screen about whom the viewer think, "What is that person doing?" And that is the role that I fill on most of these programmes. It's just someone that says just a little bit of flavour. It's a sort of blank canvas onto which you can choose to project whatever performance or meaning that you like. I'm a sort of...
Emoji in a cardigan.
I am, yes.
Yes. Yes.
It's just there's literally a blankness there. That's all it is. And sometimes people project their own moods onto my performances in these things. And I'll bump into someone on the street and they'll say, "Gosh, I mean, you were furious on that thing you were on last night." And of course, I say, "Of course I was," but I know that they're talking about themselves.
If we can move on from panel shows, because it always ends in this place.
Yeah, we can't talk about art all evening.
We can't. You were also recently made the host of the most popular show on Radio 4, The Queefing Hour. Which, as we all know, has been running every hour on the hour since 1812. Did you feel a sense of responsibility to such a national institution for the over 70s?
I did. I thought this is an enormous privilege, but in many ways a bigger burden. A lot of people out there, they have expectations. They enjoy essentially one thing and wish to have it repeated to them. Ad nauseam.
That's certainly what I find with this programme.
Well, that's exactly very much it. And I said, "Oh, God, it's very hard, and it's very God. I mean, these people, you know, they listen every week." And the chief executive very kindly pointed out, and I'll always be grateful for this. They said, "They've just got their radios on."
Oh, that's a very interesting
point.
Every
week. That's all that's happened.
Yes. That can really screw up the listening figures.
So don't worry. You could say anything. So people would literally not notice.
In a way,
they say, because it's radio, you see, nobody listens to radio. As they're very fond of saying at the BBC, it's all about podcasts now.
It is.
People are literally sick to death, if I may say, of listening to things that have been professionally produced on... high-end, publicly-funded recording equipment.
No, I know.
What people want to listen to is a couple of white chaps chewing the fat, whilst in the background you can hear sort of drinks being put down and...
Absolutely.
Doors flapping and stuff.
On the kind of equipment, frankly, you would rip off a karaoke machine.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And anything that like a thought or professional production has gone into is little more than white noise.
Absolutely. You are the bird song of entertainment.
I do hope so.
Whereas we are a hedgehog being sick on your patio. You may not have paid for it, but you sure as hell take notice. If I could move on to your personal life very briefly.
Yeah,
on a scale of 1 to 10, how many children do you have?
With
10 being the highest.
10 being the highest.
Yeah, and 1 being the lowest.
Right. And does 1 represent each child? Is it a simple...
Oh, I have no idea. I put very little thought into it.
Probably. I think 7 or 8.
7 or 8.
Or 8.
Oh, I mean, that's an enormous number of children.
Well, if it reflects the number of children I actually have, then it would be, yes. But you've not adequately stated what the increments represent.
Well, no, I know I've not been clear, but in that...
10 could be the most, but at the same time, represent any one.
That's 400 or 500 children.
In that case, it does sound like rather a lot,
yes.
But...
Would you care to rethink your answer?
No, I would just need to make it clear that we do have some help.
Right. Of course.
I mean, it's all right for you, David. You're in charge of the fucking edit, but...
Well, that's what happens when you do it all yourself. Doesn't cost you a penny. Only your time, and that's worth nothing, apparently. You've bravely written a book about your addiction to stalking professional sportsmen. Do you hope that will be a help to others to combat this condition?
Yes, I mean, I hope it'll be used as a sort of training manual. people that want to behave in this way, or indeed escape this sort of behaviour, can read the book. What was it called again?
It was called I'm After You, David Gower. And in many ways,
no,
you get
I'm sorry,
to the sense
no.
of that meaning by the end of the book, where you truly do put yourself after him.
I'm sorry. Actually, that is actually the title of my book about how to queue in a cricket pavilion.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I read it cover to cover and I didn't get that.
No, a lot of it's, a lot of it's quite sort of airy.
If I could end on this one, it's a bit of a classic, but I think you'll like it. If you could invite any five people round for a dinner party, living or dead, only five.
I think I'm most likely to invite them when they're living, to be honest.
Okay.
But there's not always enough to go round, is there?
Right.
It's useful there to have one dead person there who can...
Well, they're a good excuse if conversation dries. You go, I really should get them to the police.
Yes.
So which dead person will you have on standby for that particular eventuality?
Probably Alexander the Great.
Long dead now.
Correct, yeah, but I mean,
probably unrecognisable.
Oh, yeah, but there are little cards on the table to say who's sitting where. So that is that problem comprehensively dealt with.
And who are the other four living?
Just bring anyone, David.
Oh, really? Anyone at all? Open door.
Yeah.
Alexander the Great.
David Reed, plus three.
Well, you know who I'll bring.
I'd love to hear.
Well, always Tom from Pappy's.
Yeah.
And Ben from Pappy.
Yeah.
And then Stephen Fry. Miles Chopp, thank you for letting me inside you.
Thank you.
Miles Chopp.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Comedian with me, your host, David Reed. If you'd like to donate towards our running costs, please don't bother yourself. I'm independently wealthy and would probably not even notice.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.